Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
The Academy Award for Best Picture.
You're awesome.
Come on. La La Land.
Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won. Come on, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
An awkward ending to the Oscars last night. A mix-up of some kind. I don't know if we'll ever know, but it wasn't La La Land. It was, in fact, Moonlight. We'll be reviewing that movie, Moonlight, and talking a little bit about the mix-up at the beginning of the Academy Awards. And, of course, it was political season. It always is, but especially so last night at the Oscars. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, February the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. We'll talk about a movie that got Best Picture. It's a dark and difficult to watch story, and the other movies that it also beat out. A little bit later, Dr. Ken Cherb will join us, part 54 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, starting into Matthew chapter 7, Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." What exactly is Jesus forbidding there? Dr. Mark Regnerus joins us after that. You've probably seen reporting on the study that shows a relationship between the legalization of same-sex marriage and a reduction in teen suicide. We'll take that study apart and see whether or not it actually supports the headlines. Pastor Hans Feeney will join us to round off the program. There's a BBC story about smartphones, social media, and Christianity. We'll get his pastoral thoughts on that subject. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us to review the movie Moonlight that did, at long last, end up winning Best Film last night at the Academy Awards. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
The little snafu that came at the very end of the Academy Awards last night, the mix-up over Best Picture, you commented recently on social media that it was life imitating art. What did you mean by that?
Okay, so if somebody's listening now and hasn't actually watched La La Land and is thinking about watching it, I'm going to spoil something right now for you. Todd, did you end up getting to see it yet?
Yeah, okay. I saw it and I loved it, yeah.
Okay, so here's the, you've all had your warning, so here's how it went at the end of the movie La La Land. There was this kind of sequence that kind of all of a sudden erupts out of the end of the movie, and it looks like everything is going to come up perfect, that they're going to get back together again, and that the quote-unquote love is going to win the day kind of a thing, and then it turns out that it's just really an extended dream sequence. And then the very last frames of the film, you know, they don't get back together again. So they kind of lose, in a sense, at the very end. So watching that, you know, the way that everything transpired at the Oscars, you kind of see like the big magical, we've won, we're up on the stage, we're getting our award, we've got the Best Picture award. And then all of a sudden, no, it's like a dream. It's all actually not happening. The award goes to Moonlight, the other film. So it was kind of one of these funny things where it's just bizarre that it happened like that. And the guys with the briefcases, of course, you know, the accounting firm that's, you know, carefully watching over all of this stuff, they really dropped the ball. So like, that's a big snafu on their end of it. I mean, how many awards shows do we see where they drag these guys out or a representative from the accounting firm to say, these are the guys that are making sure that everything is going to be just right? And of course, last night it wasn't.
last year's Academy Awards was roundly criticized because all the films were too white and there was no diversity represented, and people called last year's Academy Awards racist. Well, there was a big change of tone, a political tone, at the Oscars last night. How did you observe it?
Yeah, well, it was hard not to observe it. Yeah, and Jimmy Kimmel, out of the gate, probably within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the broadcast, once he started talking, made some crack about how, you know, in last year we thought that the Oscars were racist, you know, in reference to President Donald Trump. So there was a lot of political stuff coming up all over the place, and some of it was maybe more obvious and some of it was maybe less obvious. But one of the things that was perhaps less obvious is some people had like a little ribbon that they were wearing, and that little ribbon that they were wearing was the ACLU. It was meant to be their support for the ACLU. So that was one political comment that was being made, or that they were making. Different actors had that on. And then also Emma Stone, who won for best, was it supporting actress? Or no, it wasn't supporting actress. It was best actress for La La Land. Emma Stone was wearing a little pendant that was a Planned Parenthood symbol. So you had some people who were out making some comments about Planned Parenthood as well, their support of Planned Parenthood. So, of course, that becomes a political thing when you hear about plans to defund Planned Parenthood going on in the government. So these were some of the political things. And then, of course, there was a film that won for a foreign language film. And the foreign language film that won, it was an Iranian director who won that, and he didn't come, but he had somebody else get up and make the acceptance speech for him. Now, this is not unusual for the Oscars. Like, this kind of thing has happened before. Marlon Brando won, and he years and years and years ago he won, and then he had a Native American lady get up and give the acceptance speech and accept it on his behalf, again as one of these activist kind of or politically charged kind of ways to get your point across. So the reason why the Iranian director wasn't there, he cited in a little statement, was because Iran is on the list of countries that President Trump wants to bar from coming into the United States. But the really curious thing about all of that, as I was watching it, this is kind of how I took it, was I wish that I may have taken what he said more seriously if, you know, this Iranian director, whose name is escaping me off the top of my head, if he had also said, you know, really, we shouldn't be doing that to any country. And the people of Israel, like the country Israel, those people should be allowed to come to Iran because there's a travel ban on them going to Iran. And in fact, even if you were just a person who went to Israel and had your passport stamped, that would be enough to have you denied entry into Iran. So I was in Israel at one point, and they give you like a little paper kind of thing and a little sticker that you can take off so that there's not going to be further travel problems for you, I guess. So it's kind of a funny thing. Like, there is definitely some political stuff coming up in the course of the whole evening. Lots of it. Lots of digs, left, right, and center, talking about the wall as well. There was a Mexican actor talking about the wall and about all of the actors being migrant workers because they shoot all over the world in different locations. So they took every opportunity to bring something up about politics through the course of the whole entire broadcast.
The film that actually did win Best Film at the Oscars last night, Moonlight, how would you introduce us to it?
Moonlight, we kind of talked a little bit about it with the Golden Globes, but I hadn't seen it actually yet by that point. So Moonlight is a film told in three parts. So it's a three-act kind of film, and it's a main character named Chiron, and he starts off as a little boy, and then you have a section, the second section of the movie, the second act of the movie, is him as a teenager in high school, and then the last part of it is him as a young man. So this is by this director, Barry Jenkins. And it's kind of hard movie in terms of it's just one of these kind of ugly stories of brokenness, where the boy, of course, comes from a family where there is no father. He's an African-American boy living in Florida. His mother is starting down a spiral of drug addiction, crack cocaine, prostitution, and everything is just getting worse and worse and worse in his family life between him and his mother. He gets befriended by a local drug dealer, played by Mahershala Ali, who won for Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars last night. And they also made a comment that I heard this morning somewhere, that he's the first Muslim fellow to win a Oscar ever. So they're making that's in the media as well right now. So he kind of befriends this little boy and kind of takes him in under his wing, really just wanting them to give him some sort of something normal. And what you find is, as this film progresses, it becomes apparent and clear that it's a story about this young African-American boy who is discovering or is coming to terms with the idea, the fact, however you want to put it, of him being actually a gay man. So this is what that story is about. Eventually, there's, in the third act, a little bit of resolution with his mother. In the second act, there's a sexual encounter with a boy of his own age. And then that, again, has more resolution in the end. The term moonlight connected to it is all surrounding the beach at night, which is kind of a place that he goes for some solace and is also the location of this sexual encounter with the other boy when he's a teenager. And it all kind of revolves around also near the very beginning of the film when the older man, Juan, played by Mahershala Ali, the drug dealer, talks to the little young Chiron, the boy, and says, you know, like that he was running around in the night and this lady had said to him that, you know, in the moonlight you look blue, and that kind of, you know, is that your nickname or whatever? No, it's not. And then Juan says to him, at some point you have to make some decisions about who you are. You can't let someone else make the decisions for you. So that kind of sets the stage of how that's all unfolding as a film.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about the Academy Award winning best film, Moonlight, doing a little review of that. We'll also talk about some of the other winners of the Academy Awards on the other side of the break on this Monday, February the 27th. Pastor Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. More on Moonlight. It does kind of check all the right boxes for Hollywood nowadays, doesn't it? We'll talk about that after this.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. ReformationGear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, ReformationGear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Choir of All Saints Episcopal Church, Beverly Hills, with the Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. You can listen anytime, day or night, absolutely free, lutheranpublicradio.org, and on the LPR mobile app. Ash Wednesday begins a season of Lent. That's this Wednesday. And at Lutheran Public Radio, we'll begin playing sacred music for the Lenten season, lutheranpublicradio.org. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about the Academy Award-winning best film, Moonlight. This film does, as you say, check all the right boxes in terms of what Hollywood wants to celebrate right now.
Well, Hollywood had been, like we were talking about, been thoroughly castigated for having not enough diversity in its nominations in the last couple of years. So they wanted to have more diversity in their nominations, and they achieved that. There was lots of diversity in the nominations for this year, so it checks off that box. And also, there is, like, in the last number of years, you can kind of see this, I don't know, perhaps you've seen it too, it's like they'll have, like, their darling, their cause de celeb, their thing that they want to focus on, and for a long while it was kind of affirmative action, or, you know, like helping African-American people in terms of getting them out into the movie industry and front and center. But then we had kind of a shift happen where then the shift, really the focus went on LGBTQ stuff. So what you end up having, and I've noticed this in the last couple of years, maybe you have too, is that there's a little bit of tension then between these two different groups of people, and, you know, who gets the Hollywood love, as it were. So this is almost like siblings or something. And what this does is you have, like, an African American director, cast, writer, based on you know, personal experiences and everything. And at the same time, now it's also fits into the LGBTQ category, because it's about a young coming of age film for a young gay man. So it covers all the bases. And in terms of, you know, a cynical approach to it would be is that this is virtue signaling. Then again, it may be, they may be so deep into social justice activism that they just don't, like, this is just their goal, is to get to these kinds of things that are going to essentially, they believe Hollywood, and we've heard, like, from Meryl Streep and people like this, that they are actively involved in transforming culture and people, and they want to be servants to the story, and they want to get those stories out there to change people's minds. So there's an activism to all of it. It's not just entertainment to quite a few people in the Hollywood community at this time.
With that said, do you think that given its competition, that, I mean, it was up against, my goodness, a lot of, I mean, not just La La Land, it was up against a lot of very powerful movies. Do you think it deserved to win?
I just watched it this morning, so I'm fairly fresh off of watching it. I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. But to be honest, it's very simple. So simple isn't necessarily bad. Sometimes simple can be good. But in comparison to a movie like, let's say, Manchester by the Sea, which has such range and subtlety and like that, like to me, that movie was a more interesting movie to me personally than La La Land was. Although there were parts of La La Land that I found very interesting and very engrossing, particularly just within the fine arts community, this kind of issue and challenge of actually being happy for other people's successes and how that plays on a relationship. There were a lot of things that I thought were really interesting about La La Land. I would say La La Land and Manchester by the Sea, both are films that were better films than Moonlight in terms of just the overall content, the directing, the pacing, some of the technical things. I mean, there are like moments where it's Moonlight is kind of beautifully shot for being such a hard, you know, boiled story. But there's the character depth is not as well investigated. I think that it really requires you to bring a lot to the movie. And if you don't have some of the emotional and experiential things to bring to it that would link you in with the characters that are going on in this movie, Moonlight, then it's going to be a bit of a world apart for you in terms of how you're going to view the film.
Did anything else stand out to you in terms of how the awards went at the Oscars last night?
You know, I was really happy that Casey Affleck won for Best Actor. That was a surprise to me. I didn't think that he was going to win, but I did think he should win. So that was really great to see. Viola Davis, she had a superb performance in Fences, the Denzel Washington movie. So she won for Best Supporting Actress, and that was very well deserved. So that stood out as, you know, a really positive win, I guess. I've watched lots of these. Perhaps you have too. There weren't things that really stood out. Well, one thing that stood out was that there was a movie called The White Helmets, and it was another foreign language film. And that one, the people who came up to present or to accept the award, they actually read a verse out of the Quran. So I can't really remember any other time when a verse out of the Quran got read during the Oscars. And now I'm sort of thinking to myself, can I think of a time when a verse out of the Bible has been read out like at the Oscars? Like, can you think of any?
No, I cannot.
So that kind of, like, maybe there was. Like, I've been watching them for, I don't know, probably on and off for 40 years. But, like, I can't think of a time when very specifically somebody would introduce and say, and the Bible says, and then reads a verse out of the Bible or has it prepared to say. So that, to me, seemed to be kind of a surprising moment, I guess, just in terms of where things, maybe it shouldn't be surprising, because I think that Hollywood has a particular narrative of life that they are, you know, engaged in, and they want all of us to be engaged in it too. But again, this is where people will say, well, they're just out of touch with what giant, like big sections of the population are in touch with. They're just out of touch with a lot of people, they will say, and that might be one of those. It's very much the focus was inclusion in every possible way. So it was interesting on that regard.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
Christianity and Culture will be part of the emphasis of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference we'll be holding, the first of two we'll be holding this year, in June of this year, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is going to be making the case for the relevancy of the Reformation. Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine, making the case for natural law. And among other things, Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org will be making the case for news discernment. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is Friday, June the 9th and Saturday, June the 10th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. That's 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. You can find out more and you can register at issuesetc.org. The 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. In the next segment of Issues Etc., Dr. Ken Sherb joins us. We've been doing a series with him, a long series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We've spent some time with Luther in the Sermon on the Mount. We've come to Matthew chapter 7, where there's some difficult words from Jesus about judging others and a famous saying from Jesus about the log in one's own eye and the speck in one's neighbor's eye. We'll get into those words with Dr. Ken Sherb in our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation after this.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Matt Harrison, Chris Rosebro, Aaron Wolf, Peter Bender, Todd Peppercorn, and Terry Mattingly will be speaking at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.